The scripture today is from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 38. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for He is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On the evening of June 17th, 2015, Dylan Roof, a 21-year-old boy, joined the congregation of Emmanuel AME Church. This church is located in Charleston, South Carolina, and the faithful were gathered that evening for a Bible study. In the middle of Bible study, Roof opened fire on those in attendance with a .45 caliber handgun. 9 people, 6 women and 3 men, died from gunshot wounds. 4 of the 9 victims were pastors. One of the women in attendance was 87 years old. In the aftermath of a mass shooting that occurred in a church during Bible study, I think it's fair to ask, just what is the Christian response to what can only be described as unimaginable evil? Our scripture reading for today is a good place to begin answering that question. But not, perhaps, in the way that we might think. See, I don't think our scripture reading for today is a list of do's and don'ts for how we are supposed to behave. Instead, I think it is a list of characteristics of God. And I think this list is calling the church to take on the characteristics of God. This list, then, is what our daily life should look like as we strive to take on God's characteristics. Jesus says, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you, turn the other cheek, do unto others as you would have want done unto you. What Jesus is doing here is he's trying to teach us how to love people that are difficult to love. We are to love the people that get on our nerves. We are to love the ones who hate us for things that really are kind of outside of our control, for things like maybe our height or our personalities. We are to pray for those who hurt us. We are to offer the other cheek when someone slaps us on the first. What Jesus is doing here is he's actually calling us to a new world order, a world order that is based not on reciprocity or how other people have treated us in the past, but one that is based on love, where we are to love all people because all people are children of God. In the kind of middle of this discourse, Jesus says we can't actually form our ethics or how we are to treat other people based on how other people treat us. We can't do this, Jesus says, because even sinners do this. Sinners love those who love them. Sinners are even willing to lend money to other people because they know, one way or another, their loan will be repaid. What Jesus is saying here is there's actually nothing commendable or revolutionary about treating others the way that they treated you in the past. Jesus insists that ethical living for those who follow him has to look fundamentally different than ethical living that happens outside of the church. Friends, I think sometimes we think that people who aren't Christian have no ethics, and I don't think that's true. What Jesus is saying here is that all people have rules that kind of guide their behavior, but the rules or guidelines that we follow as Christians look different than ones that kind of regulate other interactions. Remember, this list of expectations or characteristics of God, this is why Jesus was killed. The Roman authorities don't kill him because he's weird or he's like annoying. They kill him because what he's asking his followers to do has the potential to change the world. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Forgive those who hurt you. This is kingdom living in all of its beautiful messiness. Our country saw glimpses of this kingdom living in the aftermath of the Charleston church shooting. Dylan Roof was captured and arrested the next day on June 18th, 2015, and he was charged with 9 counts of murder. The following day, Roof had a bond hearing. Bond hearing is where a judge determines whether or not he will be granted bond or he can leave jail, or if he's going to have to sit in jail while he awaits his trial. At the hearing, survivors of the attack and relatives of the victim were given an opportunity to address Roof directly. Nadine Collier was elected to speak on behalf of her family. Her mother, Ethel Lance, was one of Roof's victims. Ethel was the church's custodian. She came to Bible study at the end of her shift. She was 70 years old on the day of her attack. Nadine, her voice shaky but strong, looked directly at Roof and said, "I forgive you. You took something very precious from me. I will never talk to her again. I will never ever hold her again." but I forgive you and have mercy on your soul. See, capital punishment, or the death penalty, is legal in the state of South Carolina. If convicted, Roof could and probably would be sentenced to death by lethal injection due to the heinous nature of his crimes. But the family members looked at Roof and they saw a scared 21-year-old boy. So one by one, the family members of the Charleston 9 victims stood up and they publicly declared their forgiveness of Roof in an attempt to spare his life. 6 months later, on December 15th, 2016, a year and a half later, Roof was found guilty on all charges. The district attorney wanted to seek the death penalty. However, on April 10th, 2017, Roof was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. Now, sparing his life isn't going to bring his victims back, but I hope that it brought the families some peace in the midst of unimaginable evil. Now, the point of this illustration is not to debate with you the ethics of capital punishment. We can do that later if you're interested. Instead, I hope it illustrates for you what kingdom living can look like. To illustrate how the church is called, like Jesus, to transgress cultural norms. How the church is called to pray for the man who stole something precious from them. How the church is called to forgive the hate that led to this calculated act of violence. How the church is called to face the man who slapped you and give him an opportunity to berate you while you speak to him. Friends, it feels appropriate to me that this text was assigned on the last Sunday in ordinary time. It's hard to believe it, but next Sunday is Transfiguration Sunday already, and Lent will officially begin that Wednesday with Ash Wednesday. I love that this passage was assigned for today because kingdom living, loving the unlovable, is how we prepare for Easter. It is how we invite those who would face otherwise destructive lives into the kingdom of God. We'll talk more about this next Sunday as we read the story of Jesus and his disciples and the Transfiguration. And we'll learn how God's glory is best understood in these everyday acts of faith. But for today, I think it's worth taking a minute to marvel at how the church is invited to participate in the inbreaking of the kingdom of God here on earth. This week, I think our text challenges all of us to think of who in our lives we need to love. Maybe it's someone in your life that doesn't know God yet. But I suspect that the person that you're thinking of is someone who knows God better than you do, but who still continues to behave badly. Someone who hates you for no good reason. Someone who says all manner of evil and untrue things against you. Someone whose special talent is to bring out the worst in you. In those moments when somebody is trying to bring out the worst in me, I find it helpful to repeat under my breath, "Child of God, child of God, child of God," until my blood pressure returns to normal. This practice helps me practice seeing the person in front of me as a child of God, not as a person who is behaving badly and/or annoying me. It also gives me a couple of seconds to regroup before I say or sometimes do something that I'm going to later regret. Friends, I deeply and desperately want the world to know God. And this has to start with me modeling who God is to the world. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.